During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
Say that nobody steps forward, nobody pays his price, nobody pays the Ravens' price, because there's a lot to pay, despite the fact that we're talking about a great quarterback. What then happens? That's my question. Is he willing to do a deal with Baltimore? It doesn't sound that way. Is he willing to sign the franchise tender and play out the year? Is he willing to just skip that and not do anything and not report? Those, to me, are some of the more interesting questions that I think we could be staring at down the line. We're not there right now, but come training camp, I think those are the conversations that we'll be having.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Buchady, and Marco Marquez. Tuesday, March 28th, 2023. We'll talk to our college basketball insider from the Sporting News, Mike DeCourcy, just after 7 o'clock. Gary Lezak will hit us with a forecast, give us an updated opening day forecast for Thursday. That'll happen just after 7:50. Jamie Bluma will talk Royals in opening day with us at 8:05. We're going to talk to Bonnie Bernstein at 9:05. And Jarrett Sutton will be on the show around 9:30-ish. So, and we're chasing some others, aren't we?
Yes.
Aren't we?
Yes, we are. Chasing our tails a little bit.
Yes.
You guys going to talk to each other? You guys going to communicate? You going to reach out and touch?
there's this imaginary plexiglass wall between the two of us.
Right.
We're going to sort it out.
This is a little inside baseball. There was a double booking, which ain't bad. I'd rather have a double booking than no booking. You know what I'm saying? But that's all. Just remember this, everyone. The key to a relationship is communication. Mm-hmm. Whether that be your lover, your sibling, your parent, your child, your coworker, communication. Isn't that right, Marco? Ain't that right, Lamar?
I don't know. I've been single my whole life. Right. You tell me.
Communicate. Nah. Steve St. John Sr. came through surgery okay, just fine. He's still in the hospital, but he's doing well. And if everything goes well, perhaps maybe go home today. We don't know. I don't know. But everything went well, so he wanted me to pass along thank you to all the well wishes and He's received a lot of responses on Facebook, which is the big day for him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't make too many original posts. He does a lot of sharing of things that he shouldn't on Facebook. And so, you know.
Yeah.
He doesn't often just post a picture of himself with an original post. And so that he's willing to let everyone know he's doing okay. So, very good. So we got a good show planned for you. A lot of different guests to talk about a variety of topics, including opening day, which is right around the corner. I don't know what to think. But I'm looking forward to getting the baseball season started. We'll talk college basketball, and the transfer portal is up and running. How about that? And it can be very interesting over the next couple of days and couple of weeks to see what happens, because the season ain't over yet, by the way. I don't know if you realize this, Nate, but they haven't even played the Final Four yet. And teams already landing big recruits, big transfers for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Gates has gone back to the transfer portal and already landed an experienced perimeter scorer. John Tanji, who appeared in 122 games for Colorado State the last four seasons, committed to Mizzou for his final year of college eligibility. He made that announcement on social media. John Tanji, a 6'5 guard, averaged 14.6 points per game in the Mountain West Conference. Usually you look down at the Mountain West Conference. Not this year, huh?
No.
Yeah.
Did I look down on the Mountain West?
I don't know how you feel. I just assume it. Since you're a KU fan, I assume that you look down at the Mountain West Conference. You look up at it?
Well, I picked a Mountain West team to beat Missouri in the first round of the tournament.
You were wrong.
I was wrong.
He shot almost 39% from three, averaged almost five rebounds and 1.3 assists per game as a starter for Nico Medved's team, Colorado State. He is an Omaha product, and he will help replace a plug-and-play replacement. You can look at it for either DeAndre Golston or DeMoy Hodge, or maybe a little of both, huh? He's not like either one specifically, but he comes in to help replace that production that Mizzou loses from those two players. So, I mean, if you think Dennis Gates is waiting, buddy, you are wrong. All right? I just find that... I like it. I just find it amazing that the season's not over yet, and we're already going. You don't have to wait till the end of the season, like in Major League Baseball or, you know, the NFL. Nah, we got to wait till free agency starts.
Don't you think they should have a legal tampering period first, just to make it fun?
That's been the whole season, buddy. Talk to some of these mid-major coaches and ask them about tampering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see the FAU coach said other teams have been contacting this player since Christmas?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think the tampering period is...
Is that legal tampering?
Then no one's doing nothing about it, so yeah, I guess.
It's the wild, wild west.
That's open communication right there.
But, like, how crazy would it be, like, in the NFL, if, like, the 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, he's got teams signing free agents and all, you know?
Right.
And, like, the teams that are in the Final Four, like, hey, hold on. We gotta wait for a minute. We're kind of busy here.
Got a couple of fairly big games coming up.
We're not really hitting the transfer portal as hard as we could be, considering we're in the Final Four. I don't know. I like it. Do you like it, or should they just say, "Hey, come on, wait"?
I mean, it seems like they need to get some rules at some point.
See, you just want to ruin everything.
That's going to ruin it.
This is fun.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think the NFL has a lot of rules, and it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, there could be different windows. You know, you could contact, non-contact, tampering, legal tampering.
But I'm sitting here the week leading up to the Final Four. Mizzou lands a a candidate to be their top scorer next year, or at least
good work.
Top two or top three, right? I mean, why not? It's happening everywhere else. Marco, did that make you happy?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
because sure another addition for Missouri basketball. But also, I think that bringing in someone like him, you know, you can show show Kobe. It's like, look what you guys were able to do just 1 year with Dennis Gates and bringing in guys from his former team that he coached at Cleveland State. I mean, just look what they were able to accomplish in just the 1 year. And now you're bringing in, I think, honestly, you can bring in a better crop of talent through the transfer portal this year. I mean,
I expect an upgrade. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So, and then you have the returning players added on another year of play. I expect Aiden Shaw to have a bigger role next year. So I think that if Dennis Gates can bring in some of these high-profile players off the transfer portal, that's even more of a reason for Kobe to stick around for another season at Missouri. So, yeah.
That's a good point. Let's say, hey, Kobe. That would also entice him to come back, don't you think, besides NIL money? Like, hey, look what we're going to put around you.
Yeah.
Kobe. You know who a lot of Missouri fans want Dennis Gates to put around him?
Who?
Caleb Love. Mizzou originally was the runner-up in the Caleb Love sweepstakes. And now he's leaving. He announced on social media that he is, a year after leading the Tar Heels to the national championship game, he announced on social media that he is entering the transfer portal. He didn't have a great year, but he averaged almost 17 points a game. But his efficiency took a dive. He only shot 29.9% from deep. And some would say he was 2-3 point happy.
Mm.
But remember how good he was in that tournament, right?
Yeah.
Not this one because they didn't make it, but the last one. It was a disappointing season for him, even though he averaged a career high 16.7 points per game. But
that's how you get those 16 points.
Would that thrill you, Marco, if Mizzou brought in Caleb Love? Dude, you better say yes. I don't want to hear that.
What am I going to say? No. Kobe, like, I'm going to talk about Kobe Brown. He literally just played on his best Missouri team during his career at Mizzou this year. So, I mean, yeah, bring in all the top guys that are on the transfer portal right now. Give me all the guys who are averaging double-digit points and shooting 30 or 40% from the field or behind the arc. Yeah, absolutely.
Look, dude, I don't – here's the deal.
This is Missouri basketball. You can't say no to these types of players.
Here's – especially this, okay? It was a very – it got into the pattern of Konzo Martin, right? What he was brought here to do. Well, he's going to get the St. Louis talent. And then, no, he did not. And so guys like Caleb Love, who was a five-star kid in 2020 out of CBC in St. Louis, right? And he ended up going to North Carolina. They could say Mizzou was a runner-up, but whoever knows. I mean, whatever. Who cares, you know? But, I mean, he's a blue-chip prospect. He was the number 17 player in the nation. He doesn't pick Mizzou the first time around. Oh, you have the door open on their way back. Because then maybe that's just how it's going to be. Same thing. Eli Drinkwitz is doing that. And that's what the transfer portal can bring. You don't get them the first time around. Get them when they, you know what, I'm homesick. You know what, I don't like. You know, I'm going to go play my last year so my family, and you can roll your eyes at this. But you know what, maybe a kid plays 4 years someplace else and then wants to come home where all of his, you know, aunts and uncles and cousins and brothers and sisters or friends or whatever, his mom and dad, whoever, can go see him every game if he's from St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Or from Kansas City or whatever. Take advantage of that. You say no to that, okay. Hey, there were hard feelings. Mizzou thought Konzo Martin put everything into this Caleb Love recruitment. Didn't get him, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to say? Oh, you didn't want us the first time. You can't come back now. Like, oh, come on. Come here. Take him.
Right.
So that's the beauty of the transfer portal. You know, don't burn bridges. You don't get the kid the first time around. Well, there's another, you're going to have another chance.
Yeah.
And that's something you got to remember, because in the past, maybe you would burn that bridge. Who knows?
That's just that lesson in life, too. You should never burn a bridge.
Oh, there are times you should absolutely burn a bridge.
Almost never burn a bridge.
Yeah. Shoot. I could write down some names. I'd give you specific that bridges burned, and I'm pretty happy about it. I'd go back and burn it again if I could.
So. Build the bridge just so you could burn it again?
And maybe if you wonder, maybe I am talking about you. If you think, I wonder if he's talking about me.
Probably.
I haven't spoke to him in a while. Maybe. All right, look in the mirror.
Wow.
I don't even know who I'm talking to.
Point guard from Kentucky is in the transfer portal. Point guard from Duke's in the transfer portal. I mean, there's just...
Give me a piece. Let me wet my beak.
You're ready.
Some of these blue chips. Yeah, I love it. I don't think you like it very much. You're a traditionalist.
Oh, well. I'm for player rights. I think they should be able to do what they want, play where they want.
Such the week leading up to the Final Four. I'm not waiting for nothing. You gotta wait for nothing. Why?
I'm not saying you should.
That's right.
That's it seems a little unfair to the teams that are in the Final Four, but hey, they're in the
Final Four. What
so,
do they care?
Yeah, right.
They can shut up, as far as I'm concerned. They're in the Final Four.
So. Well, if they're in on some guys, they might just call them and say, hey, why don't you just wait for a week before you make a decision?
Right. Watch this.
Yeah. See if you want to be a part of this.
Why don't you turn on CBS? It's still on CBS, isn't it?
I believe so.
I mean, I don't know anymore.
It's crazy to me that games are on, like, you know, True TV when there's...
Games that I assume that are on CBS have turned up on TBS, so I'm not...
Right.
I don't know. I can't say for sure.
Yeah, CBS. They still will be broadcasting Final Four.
Okay.
I'm going to be in Canada on Saturday, so I'm going to have to watch it on TSN, I believe.
Is that right, eh?
Yeah.
Canada.
I don't think I've been outside the country since the pandemic. It'll be interesting.
Did you see our old friend that we used to campaign to be on the roster, Richard Dick Lovelady?
Yeah.
He's mad.
Uh-oh.
Did you see that?
I saw that he got sent down the other day.
Well, he pitched well, but then he was sent down. Josh Stallman was sent down, too. There was a couple of surprises.
Yeah.
Like, what? What did they do? And so Lovelady was optioned to AAA Omaha on Saturday along with Josh Taylor and Josh Stallman. And apparently he got word of the Royals playing a day early. And because he tweeted out on Friday, what I did never even matters. So what do you think about that?
Well, I don't blame somebody for being frustrated with or being upset about going to AAA instead of the big leagues, but you know, my guess is that if he keeps a positive attitude, he'll be spending a lot of time in the major leagues this year. Because everything that I've read from Annie Rogers and elsewhere is that the Royals feel like they have a bullpen of 12 capable arms. And they're going to be using them all. And so you can't keep them all on the roster at the same time, so you rotate them. Sometimes you're going to be in AAA. Sometimes you're going to be in the big leagues. And I would encourage him to keep a positive attitude, not burn a bridge with the Royals.
Right.
Because having a bad attitude and being sour is not going to be the way you get called back up.
He could be in the transfer portal.
Right. But that's not how you get. That's usually not how you get yourself called up.
Right.
So I would just say, you know, keep grinding, man. And then when you play in real major league games, not the preseason ones, perform well. And that usually will end up making a difference. But I don't think what you do in spring training should matter very much. So, but I do like Richard Lovelady, and I would like to see him at the big league level at some point.
We'll be right back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Marco Marquez. You see the Royals went to Six Flags on their off day?
Oh, that's nice.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, a little team building exercise.
Right.
You ever been to Six Flags?
When I was a kid.
Yeah, me too.
St. Louis.
Oh, you went to the St. Louis one?
I think so. I don't remember. Yeah,
they're in Arlington, right?
Hmm? Yeah, there's one in Arlington. Yep.
Yeah, that's the one I've been to.
It's a good one. And one out east.
Yeah, I went to the one in St. Louis.
Do you like roller coasters?
When I was a kid, I did a lot. I mean, I rode.
Would you go to a time, Royals Day at Six Flags if you were invited?
Yeah. I mean, why not? Like, one time I rode the Orient Express 77 times in one day.
77?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Oh, I did.
77?
Yep.
How did you even, like,
over and over and over again.
Was there, not
again.
A line or something?
No.
No line?
No. That was there with my mom. Wow. We wanted to see how many times I would ride it over and over and over and over and over.
Throw up 77 times if I did that.
Yeah. That wasn't bad. Orient Express is awesome.
I love the Orient Express. I'm just saying if I did it 77 times.
Yeah. There were a lot of weird things I used to do because a lot of times when I was a kid, it was just me and my mom someplace, you know?
Yeah. 77 in one
day.
But
that's all I did. We had a season pass. So
nice.
And then one day I would just go and ride one ride over and over and over again, you know. Yeah, today's Viking Voyage Day.
The Viking Voyage, that was great. Get that blue painted water.
I love that. That was my favorite thing.
I love that one, too.
No, I love Dorian Express, too.
I like the Fury of the Nile.
Yeah, that was pretty good. But there was a...
Now the Orient Express looks fun. That was something it was replaced in 20. Oh, got replaced by Spinning Dragons in 2004. That's a fun
That's
ride.
That's where the Patriot is now, right?
Fury of the Nile was very dependent on the group of people you were with or who you would get paired with. And if you were by yourself, that was not always a fun proposition if you got the wrong, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you're facing them.
Yeah.
I don't want to be with these people. Just look down, just take my fun away, you know?
Yeah.
Put me on a roller coaster next to somebody. I'm not, you know, I'm focused on the fun.
Right.
On the ride. But.
I just wanted to get splashed.
Right.
We rode the Patriot. It was the first time I'd been to Worlds of Fun in a few years. And I used to ride all those roller coasters as a kid. We did the Patriot right off the bat. And I was done.
No,
was
there'll
done.
Be no roller coasters
was,
for me.
I was I'm done.
That happened to my 8th grade teacher, Mrs. South, too, when we went to Worlds of Fun. Patriot was done the whole day.
Oh, man. I'll just stand here and wait in line. I'll hold all the toys that you guys won at the, you know, the different games while you guys go on your rides. I was that guy.
So the Royals start on Thursday, unbelievably. Mm. Marco, you're going to be out there for opening day, aren't you? Excited about that, covering opening day? Is this the first time?
Yeah, first time out there. First time being out at opening day since they made the ballpark additions, the outfield, all that, where they did the stadium renovations. There's the word I'm looking for.
So you're excited?
Yes, very excited. Oh, yeah.
Is there anyone you'd most like to talk to after the game with interviews? Anyone you'd like to target?
What you're saying is I need to put my plan out there now so put someone else.
Now, with baseball, it's all dependent on, like, who has the big game. If somebody goes 3-for-4 with a homer, then you better get some sound from them. But is there anyone, like, any of these personalities or any of these players that you are more interested in than the others? Like, Vinny is going to be a great interview.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think fans are really – you heard him on the show. Fans are really going to fall in love with Michael Massey, not only
– Yep.
For what he does in the field, I'm just going to tell you, Nate, I've got big projections for him. He's a freeze for the AL-only Bada Bings, and I got great feelings about the production we're going to see from Michael Massey. I'm just going to put that out there right now. And so it's one of my breakout candidates.
Okay.
Big time.
All right.
Baby. And so I'm very glad that they're not playing footsie with Nicky Lopez. And, you know, it's Michael Massey's job. That's it.
Right.
Love you, Nicky, but Michael Massey can hit. He can rake. And he's no slouch at second base either.
Right.
So I'm maybe most excited about him. I mean, yeah, we love Bobby Wood Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino, but like over the new guys.
Well, and you know, if you go out there early enough, Marco, you can talk to the guys before
talk
the game.
To all of them.
That's what I
this
was.
This is all new to me.
Yeah,
wow.
So that's what I always find interesting about baseball.
It's all nude to
it's,
you.
It's new.
New.
Oh, I don't know. I can't hear. Go ahead.
You don't want to talk to them when they're nude. I don't.
Well,
think.
Sometimes you have
some
to.
Reporters will do that. They'll just walk right up to a
well,
guy.
Sometimes you have to.
Can't fall. Can't just, go into the showers.
You just say, yeah. Hey, guys, why don't we wait till he gets his boxer shorts on at least?
Yeah.
You know. But some guys just walk right up.
First time I ever interviewed anyone in a locker room was when I was in college at UMKC, and I was the sports editor for the University News. And so they had an NBA exhibition game at Kemper, and it was Golden State against Denver. And this is when Mutombo played for Denver, and Chris Mullin was still playing for Golden State. And so Denver practiced... used the UMKC practice gym at Sweeney Rec to practice. And so they gave me, because I covered that practice, they gave me a press pass to the game. It was the coolest thing ever, right? When you're in college, you don't know. Like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's NBA. Like,
heck,
you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, at practice, I interviewed Dikembe Mutombo, my little tape recorder. I played it for all my friends. It was,
yeah.
It was all, and he was so cool. But then we go and I go to the locker room in Golden State, for Golden State, right? So I want to interview Chris Mullin. I asked a few questions of Don Nelson. He was the coach, and that was cool. And again, I'm this inexperienced college student. I'm just freaking out, and I love the NBA, and I love sports. And so I want to interview Chris Mullin, right? And I'm waiting, and he don't have a thread of clothes on him. I'm like, I don't want to. I mean, I don't want to talk. I mean, I don't. It's, I just don't want to talk to him, like,
right?
And I don't know. And at that point, I had no idea about etiquette. Like, you're not supposed to go up. When they're just, he's completely naked and just, hey.
Yeah.
How's the preseason? I mean,
can I get you a towel?
Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And so then they get there's a giant tub of ice water, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then he gets a beer. Don Nelson gives him a beer. And then he sits at his locker and sits in that tub and puts his legs all the way up to his, you know, is quads, right? Just his knees and ankles in that big giant tub of ice. And, you know, so that's what he does after every game. He sat there for, I don't know how, you know, 15, 20, however long they sit in there, right? And so he's drinking a beer, still ain't putting nothing on. I said, well, I guess this is what we do. Let's go. And I went over there and just talked to him. It was very uncomfortable. Mr. Mullin.
He didn't say, like, hey, why don't you wait till I get my clothes?
This is, he was, you know, he's having a beer and he's icing his tired knees and ankles.
Say, hey, Mr. Mullin, how's it hanging?
Yeah, exactly. Know? Right? Yeah. I've heard of flopping, but this is ridiculous. I don't know. And so it was just very, it wasn't, you know, so that was my first, you know, like,
So this is the NBA, and that's when you knew you really wanted to get into this business.
Right, I can't wait. Now, oh, boy, I got to do this more often. I went home to my mom. I'm sold. This is my career. I want to do this forever. I'll never forget that, but I'll never forget. Yeah. I was like, what did I do? I'm not going to ask anyone else, and I didn't want to seem like I didn't know, you know, which I didn't know what I was doing. Like, hello.
Yeah.
Testing. 1, 2.
So, yeah, Marco, baseball, you can go talk to the guys before the game. It's one of the few sports where you can actually interview the players. They open up the clubhouse before the game.
And they ain't got clothes on. You just got
to
talk to them.
But just, you can't talk to the starting pitcher. Those
don't
guys.
Don't you go up to the starting pitcher the day he starts.
No.
One time I made the mistake after asking Jeff Supan when he was wearing a Hawaiian shirt, and you'd have thought I asked him to run to the top of Mount Everest.
I'm pitching today.
Oh,
couldn't possibly talk.
And I was like, that's why I wanted to talk to you. Like, I don't make.
Mm-hmm.
whatever.
Yeah, that's the tricky thing, Marco. There's all kinds of weird etiquettes in a major league clubhouse. It's not a locker room. It's a clubhouse.
Don't make any eye contact.
Yeah. Don't sit.
Is that a double entendre?
This is a true one. Don't sit on any of the furniture.
Do not do that.
Mike Moustakas aired out a former employee here one time at the in spring training for sitting down at a chair. He had his name was two initials.
Oh boy! Why can't you say that?
I don't know. I guess I can. TJ. Oh, he just sat down because Moustakas was sitting at a table.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, can I interview you? And he goes, yeah, fine. And so he comes, he sits down next to him and goes, oh, you're just going to sit down and make yourself
That's
comfortable?
Right.
You spent all that time in the minor leagues riding buses to earn your way into this clubhouse? You can
Moustakas,
just sit down in our furniture?
Super red ass. Hey, I think the only time you can sit down in the clubhouse is if you're invited to sit at a table by Renelvis Hernandez while he eats a giant bowl of chicken and rice. And opines to you just the struggles of his inability to lose weight while he was eating like a family-sized portion, like something, like a bowl they would bring. Like, here is a family of six. Here is, everyone just get a portion of this. It's delicious chicken and rice. And he's sitting there and he goes, I don't know. I ate the chicken and rice. I ate what they tell me. I can't lose weight. And it was like, that's chicken and rice. That gets got to be like 1,800 calories of chicken and rice right there.
Yeah.
That's got to be a daily serving or your daily caloric requirement.
But if they invite you to sit down, then you're allowed to sit down. But you
I wanted him to give me some of the chicken and rice, but he didn't. That invite never came.
Nope.
We will take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So people got all hot and heavy because there was a story yesterday that the 49ers had received some phone calls from other teams about asking about their willingness to trade wide receiver Brandon Ayuk. And so immediately Chiefs fans, Chiefs Twitter took that and ran with it. He will count only $3.9 million against the cap this season. But then the and John Lynch has already said yesterday that they plan to exercise his fifth-year option, which would pay him $14.12 million in 2024. There's nothing wrong with either of those two salaries.
No.
So that's a guy that's very reasonable for 2 years, right? Would you pay $218 for him, for a guy that young, that good, that talented? And so the reason why they'd even consider trading him is there's questions about whether or not the 49ers can afford to keep him and Deebo Samuel on the roster long term. Deebo Samuel will count $8.6 million against the cap this season, but then in 2024, the cap number is $28.5 million. So it's a little different. And it's tough. Now, look, they do have Brock Purdy. And apparently that's who they're going to go with, and they have him on his rookie contract. So you could do some other things if you have a quarterback on a rookie contract. But still, it's kind of tough to have two wide receivers with two huge contracts. It doesn't seem like that's something the 49ers would, they're not a wide open passing attack. I mean, does it seem like something that they would? I don't know.
Well, what do you think Brock Purdy is?
Quarterback for the 49ers.
How good of a quarterback is he at the NFL level?
I don't know. I'm to the point where I'm not sure it matters that much who the quarterback is for the 49ers because of their system, and they don't
right.
They run the ball a lot.
Right. But I feel like part of that is having good personnel around him. I mean, they do run the ball. They're like they're primarily a run team, but they still got to throw the ball some. And they, I don't know. It just seems like maybe Brock Purdy's going to turn out to be the next Tom Brady type guy.
I feel like they can be like the Chiefs in respect of. They have it figured out. They know talent evaluation.
Yeah.
And I think they're good enough to where they look at it and think, yeah, you know, Debo Samuel is such a unicorn. He does things that nobody else does. But we believe in just like with the Chiefs with Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
We're just not gonna, you know, pay him as much as he wants to stay here because we believe in what we do and we believe in replacing him. And maybe they just don't want to do that. Which I couldn't, you know. I'm not going to hate on them for that.
They clearly know how to evaluate talent and get players in. But I would say the difference is, I guess the reason I would think you might want to hold on to both guys, I feel like their offense, obviously, I think they say what you want about Shanahan. He is a good offensive coordinator, right? He's got a good run scheme. He knows how to put a quarterback in position to have success. And a lot of that's through running the ball and then play action pass and all that. But I also feel like part of the thing with their offense, part of the reason it doesn't matter who the quarterback is because it's like we got playmakers, and really all you got to do is get the ball in their hands. And we'll design up enough different ways to get the ball in their hands to where the offense will work. But in order to do that, it's like what you were saying about the Chiefs. Well, the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes. You know, there is a little bit of, yeah, we got great Andy Reid and offensive, and we can get young talent, but we got a quarterback to make any wide receiver look great. I don't know that I feel that great. I like Brock Purdy, but I don't know that I feel that great about Brock Purdy that I feel like, well, we can just find the talent to put around him and we'll be good. I don't know. I would love it if they want to trade him to the Chiefs. I'm all for it.
What would you give?
Woof. Second round pick? Is that too much?
Is that enough?
Probably not. I don't know. I don't know that I want to give up a first-round pick for him for 2 years, right? You just get him for two?
You would think
maybe
that they
work
would
out work an extension.
Out a, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to go back into that? I mean, you traded Tyreek Hill to acquire draft picks and to avoid attaching yourself to him in a long-term deal. Do you want to turn right back around and trade draft capital? And
I guess it depends on how much you got to pay him.
Right.
You know, if you got to pay him a ton. Probably not. I mean,
oh,
in general,
he's gonna get paid. That's the whole point.
Yeah. In general,
he's gonna get paid.
I'm more for the Chiefs acquiring draft picks than giving up draft picks. In general.
All right.
But I am a little worried about the wide receiver position right now.
I think. I'm not worried, but I'd like them to add somebody.
Yeah, I said a little worried.
Right.
I'm not panicked. I'm not over here pushing the panic button.
No, it's March. Can't get panicked yet. We'll take a break. Back into this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm not sure I even need to give this update, but I will. He's got a name, but no one knows him by his name. So, Chiefsaholic, the Chiefs superfan that would dress as a wolf. And attend games all over the country and apparently rob banks all over the country. The Chiefs superfan facing robbery charges in Oklahoma has been missing since his ankle monitor was removed over the weekend. And a $1 million bond warrant was issued Monday after he failed to appear in court, according to the Tulsa County District Attorney's Office. He had turned himself in. They didn't find him yet, did they? Any updates on this story? I'm just reading the original story. I didn't check to see if he's, you know, if they caught him or.
I'm as caught up as you are okay. Right now.
He was due in court Monday for an arraignment hearing. He was arrested December 16th after allegedly robbing the Tulsa Teachers Credit Union in Bixby, Oklahoma. Faces charges of robbery with a dangerous weapon and assault while master disguised. Pleaded not guilty, was released on bond in February. His bail bondsman, Michael Lloyd, said he received a notification Saturday evening that the ankle monitor had been removed without authorization. He went to the Tulsa Hotel where the Wolf had been staying. He was not there. And the ankle monitor, which had been cut, was found in the woods nearby.
Oh, boy.
He's not responded to any attempts to contact.
Do you think there was a full moon?
I don't know. That's a great question.
I saw somebody point out that apparently Patrick Mahomes isn't the only chief that could overcome ankle issues to right. escape.
That's right. His attorney, Tracy Tiernan, said, I have reached out to him and I'm waiting to hear back from him. I don't know the circumstances of why the ankle monitor was removed or how it was removed. I can give you a guess of why it was removed.
What kind of guess? What do you think?
I don't know.
Maybe it just fell off and he's so worried that it fell off that
he's
trying to decide what to do next.
He's got people out here posting his tattoos online.
I would stay away from any of that. You know, who knows what he's capable of right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't want nothing to do with that guy.
Stay away.
The bail bondsman said while out on bail, he's been going to the gym regularly and attending church with his mother and brother. So.
He's been up in the gym working on his fitness, huh?
Starting to think that this family is like the family from the Goonies. His mom and brother, huh, at church?
His attorney said, this is a beautiful story about a troubled young man who's had a lot of obstacles put in his path that he's had to overcome. I really like him, and I'm going to fight really hard to get Pat the best possible resolution. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's a beautiful story to me.
Well.
You're not the beholder.
I'm assuming she said that before he.
No, now, oh. I guess.
Okay.
I mean, is this a beautiful story for the bank employee that he terrorized? And probably, and she probably thought he was going to kill her. Do you think that she thinks it's a beautiful story?
Well, I don't think it's a beautiful. Anybody who's ever had a gun pointed at them probably doesn't consider that to be a beautiful story. That's what a lawyer's pay. You know, the lawyer gets paid to represent the person that they're representing.
Why don't they bring in Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Maybe that's what we're going to get to here.
Right. Is he still active?
I want to say he retired after his wife passed away, right. But...
Well, maybe this is what he needs to motivate him, get him out of... Look, that's not a fun job. My dad was a bail bondsman.
I was going to say, your old man worked in that industry for a while, right?
My grandpa was a bail bondsman for years and years and years in KCK. In an office in downtown KCK, Danny and Paul bonding. And you talk to anyone in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. If they got bailed out of jail in KCK, they got bailed out by Danny and Paul Bonding.
Yeah.
And Danny was my grandpa. And I used to sit in his office on Saturdays and just listen to the phones. And then I used to, and then my dad and my grandpa, and this is my mom's father, Danny Ontiveros. Then they owned a bail bonds company on 750 Ann Avenue. And that was called D&S Bail Bonds. Danny and Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was 12, they used to let me stay there overnight in the office and answer phones, which let me tell you.
What kind of
phone
calls?
Was a disaster for everyone involved. Until it soon came to the realization, like, yeah, we need to actually hire someone competent. This isn't going well. You know.
Did you take any messages down?
Yeah. I mean, I used to go with my dad.
Oh, yeah.
To skip trace and to go, you know. I mean, I could tell you some stories. I went places that I had no business, you know. I mean, let me tell you, something else. It's glorified. That's a hard job. That's a hard way to make a living.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
Yeah.
I saw it up close. And the assortment of things
it can be a dangerous way to make a living, too.
Both, yeah.
You know, I mean, on top of
I don't know. You want to chase this wolf down?
No, that's my point, is I think you approach with caution, you know?
Right,
That's what I would say.
That's right.
You know, a person in his situation, who knows what they're capable of when you're on the run from the law.
There we go! Luther Burden tweeting at Caleb Love. Let's go.
That's right.
Man, college sports. Come on. I love it.
It's hampering.
Isn't that good?
No, it's great.
Six hours ago, about 1 in the morning, LB's tweeting it. All he did was retweet Caleb Love's and Luther Burden's at MIZ at 1 in the morning.
Come eat some of these potato chips.
Yeah. You can have your own chip, Caleb Love.
By the way, Marco,
look out! Can you put this on camera? Luther Burden tweeted this out. He went to the store. He said, "Thank you for all the support." Look at this beautiful.
I'm gonna say they're some of the most delicious potato chips I've ever had.
But how about this for a recruiting tool? How legitimately happy does Luther Burden look to be standing next to a display of his chips?
He's wearing socks with slides on. I was told by somebody that's a no-no.
Oh, tell Luther Burden that.
I don't think
Go out to Columbia and tell Luther Burden that you don't like it.
That's what I was told.
Someone was lying to your face.
Well, maybe he can pull them
off,
but I can't.
That's a staple for a collegiate athlete.
Socks and slides.
Comfort.
Socks and slides.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Look at that, though. Look how happy. You don't care.
There's no, because I'm busy watching highlights of the McDonald's All-American Slam Dunk Contest from last night.
That kid ain't got no chips.
Not yet. Who knows? Maybe he'll get, he'll get that LIM. You just see this guy from Kansas, Marco? His name is El Marco, which I believe is Spanish for the Marco.
You should probably like that guy,
Yeah, El Marco Jackson.
I'm about to do some digging up on, and he was in the. He's a McDonald's All
American. He was doing a slam dunk contest. He was dunking over Ronald McDonald, which terrifies me. I would never want to dunk. Ronald McDonald's maybe the most terrifying of all the clowns to me. But
you weren't at Planet Comic Con, because let me tell you,
no,
I was this close. I was this close to standing in line and getting an autographed picture of you from Art the Clown. And I'd have paid, like, he's an actor. It's a famous person. It's from the movie Terrifier.
Okay.
I might have paid, if he'd have done it, but he wouldn't have. Because I might have paid $1,000. Say, hey, will you please come in our studio?
No.
That's how much it would be worth to me, but he would never, it's nothing to him. He's an actor.
Right.
But I'm just saying that's the offer I was prepared to make. Google right now.
No, already showed me.
Google Art the Clown.
I already saw it. You showed me one time. I don't want to do it.
Do you know Art the Clown?
Yeah, Terrifier, yep.
But he actually dressed up as Art the Clown. That's the best part from Planet Comic Con. He could have just been himself, like, yes, I'm the actor that plays Art the Clown. Let me sign this 8x10 for you. Okay, but no. One day he went in full gear.
It's scary.
That's fantastic. This guy. You think Ronald McDonald's scarier than him?
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, not maybe. I don't know. Ronald McDonald's.
You want a piece of him?
Yeah, but like, that guy's terrifying.
You don't know nothing.
Ronald McDonald's trying to pose as like this friendly clown that's giving you cheeseburgers.
He is. What's inaccurate about that?
Well, you got to be. Just like Chiefsaholic was posing as this friendly wolf that's out there.
Don't you drag Ronald McDonald into this thing.
Wolf in wolf's clothing there. Wait, what?
I don't like hearing this. Back after this on WHB.